The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danka, Bharati Jagdish, and Ryan Huang with you. It's time now for Travel Thursday. We spoke about this a little bit earlier on, Bharati. If you could travel anywhere, it would be neighboring Malaysia. Is there a reason why?
It's just such a comfortable place. I mean, before all of this happened, I used to travel to KL at least once or twice a year, at least, just for a few days. Because you see, it's a fuss-free, hassle-free trip across the border. I would fly in, you know, so then it's only 45 minutes by plane. It's a very quick and easy trip. The food is great. Yeah. It's a lot like the food you get in Singapore, but just elevated a little. And my travel companion always tells me, it's because you're in the holiday mood. Everything tastes and looks better.
It's true.
Actually, it's Malaysia almost like Singapore. KL is almost like Singapore, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Just want that little comfort, you know, easy comfort, hassle-free comfort.
Yeah, a bit more space.
In a different location. Because the mood is different.
I personally choose Taiwan simply because we've got some family there and haven't seen them in a while. But, you know, the reason I bring this up is because there's that air of hope. I mean, I don't know if you can feel it, right? Especially since we have this whole vaccinated travel lane, you know, on the 8th of September that VTL to Frankfurt, Germany took off. So I don't know. I feel a sense of hope.
Yes, I think I'm sure you're not alone. And of course, VTL, just another one of the new abbreviations that are likely to become part of the lexicon from now on. Yeah? You'll be hearing a lot of these new abbreviations. So once again, it's Vaccinated Travel Lane. This is all part of a pilot travel scheme to allow travelers who are vaccinated against COVID-19 to enter Singapore without quarantine, emphasizing that. VTLs will be launched with Germany and Brunei.
So when we heard about this, we thought to ourselves, okay, we got to speak to someone who is going to take this on. And we realized we have a very good friend of ours who is always, you know, he loves traveling. Great guy, good friend of ours. Aaron Wong, founder of The Mile Lion, is on the line. Aaron, good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
Very good, sir. First question. You went to Germany. How much beer did you have there?
I had a decent amount, I would say.
Oh, you sound
it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, you sound quite moderate. I don't know what Elliot would have done because his priority is a bit different.
Yeah, I think it was pretty incredible to finally get out of Singapore for a while. I mean, this was the first time in almost 18 months that we could travel overseas. Like, there's only so many staycations or cruises that you can do in Singapore, but to be in a completely new country, to be in a new environment, it was just very refreshing and pretty amazing.
I'm sure it was, but what exactly did you have to do, Aaron, in order to get there? I mean, tell us more about that process from the beginning. So before you booked your flight out, what were the first few things that you had to take note of and, you know, the whole process, the paperwork that you had to do?
Right. So actually the VTL process, my goodness, I need to be careful not to say VPL. The VTL process.
I know,
process.
That's exactly what I was thinking about too.
Oh my goodness. Yes, the VTL process is actually fairly straightforward going over because the German government does not have any pre-departure test restriction for vaccinated Singaporeans. So for all intents and purposes, when you're going over, it's just like taking any other flight. You go to the airport, you check in. Once you're in Germany, you just show the immigration officer your Singapore vaccination certificate. The restrictions mostly come on the way back. So when you're coming back, you need to do one pre-departure test in Germany within 48 hours of your flight. And then once you return to Singapore, you do one test at Changi Airport. You do another test on day 3 and a final test on day 7. In fact, I just finished my day 7 test yesterday. Thank God, everything negative.
Wow. I assume you flew SIA?
Yes, I did.
How are they faring with all these control checks?
Yeah, it's definitely a different atmosphere on board, and they've had to modify some of their service routines. In fact, for most of the past 18 months, they were doing what's called single tray service in the premium cabins. So it's kind of like they bring everything at one go in order to minimize interactions with passengers. But they've recently switched that back to cost-by-cost service. So there's a bit of that old SIA glamour coming back a bit. But it is still very different because you have to wear your mask at all times, even when you are sleeping, which I can tell you is not very comfortable. Mm. And it also things like, you know, they've done away with physical menus. There's no more duty-free card. So, yeah, this is just part and parcel of the environment that we're in right now. And it's probably going to be like this for at least another year or so.
Certainly something that we all have to come to terms with. I do know something else that's on the mind of everyone who's even contemplating traveling. The price of the tickets. Are they more expensive?
No. So what's so surprising is that unlike the Hong Kong ATB, which you remember a few days after it launched, we were seeing close to $1,000 for round trip to Hong Kong, which was crazy. That same thing hasn't happened with Germany. So you can still get round trip economy class tickets to Germany for about $950. And I think one of the reasons why is that probably Germany doesn't lend itself to quick getaways the way Hong Kong would. Mm. Probably fewer people have family in Germany compared to Hong Kong. And also, it's also going to be a bit harder to block off a meaningful stretch of leave in order to go to a place like Germany versus Hong Kong, which you could do over like a weekend or something. Mm. So yeah, still extremely reasonable.
Aaron, so in Germany, what is it like there? Because what's the conversation like? What's the attitude, the mood? Because we keep talking about how we have to move towards, you know, sort of an endemic phase of this COVID-19. Mm. How are they managing? What are the rules there like?
In a word, I think they're really showing how endemic COVID should look like. I mean, there are still restrictions to be sure, but all the restrictions mostly apply indoors. So when you're indoors, when you're on public transport, in a hotel, in a shop, yes, you have to wear your mask. Yes, there's social distancing. But once you get outside in the public space, there's no more mask rules anymore. Oh, so man. If you're in the park, if you're walking down the street, you're not required to wear one. And I think it's good because, you know, they haven't just, like the UK, gone and said, okay, let's have this big freedom day and remove all the restrictions at once. But they're also still loosening the ones which can be loosened. Because, as you know, people will get a lot of fatigue from following the rules day in, day out for months on end. Yeah. And I think they're managing that very, very well. In fact, they've also changed how they manage their system of restrictions and controls. So it used to be based purely on new cases, and now they're saying, no, cases aren't the right thing to look at. Let's look at hospitalizations. Let's look at ICU admissions when deciding whether or not we need to tighten or to loosen.
Right, so very similar to the approach that we're taking here in Singapore. I'm sure, Aaron, during your time there, you interacted with a lot of locals, right? Tell us more about your observations and what you found out during your interactions about the extent to which COVID-19 has affected the tourist attractions, the restaurants, and various other establishments there.
Yeah, I think they're very happy to see tourists returning. Obviously, the past year and a half has been very, very difficult. But actually, we Singaporeans aren't the first tourists to go there because Europe has been open to Europe for quite a while now. So most of the tour groups I saw there were people from Italy, from Spain, from Portugal. And there's kind of a buzz again around the main tourist areas. I mean, if I were to show you a photo, it'd be very hard to tell what year it was taken in because everything just looks pretty normal. I also think that the Germans have come to, I mean, they've really come to this acceptance that this is not just going to go away. They're going to have to live with it. And therefore, it just means taking reasonable precautions, but not letting that stop you from living daily life. Right.
Mm-hmm. Actually, how's the attitude towards Asians? And the reason I bring that up is because, I mean, yeah, they've been open to Europeans, and no doubt Germany doesn't speak for the rest of the world, but there were a lot of sort of apprehension towards Asians, I put it nicely, last year or the year before. How's it now?
Yeah, and I mean, I'd be lying if I said that wasn't a concern for me traveling over. But having been there, I can honestly tell you I never felt I was treated any differently from any other tourist. Most people, as you know, most people will be indifferent towards you. and for the others, I mean, everyone I interacted with in hospitality and all, they were friendly as if they were talking to anyone else. So I think there are definitely things to be concerned about traveling right now. I mean, you know, if you did a positive swab test, actually, ICA says you can't return to Singapore for at least 21 days. So that's that's a whole other issue that we need to deal with. But I don't think that suffering racial abuse is necessarily something that should keep you up at night if you're thinking about going. Because we need to remember that 99.999% of the people that you meet will be friendly or at most indifferent towards you. Right.
And it's indifference is actually a blessing, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
It is.
Indifference
is
actually a blessing.
I just like to be ignored. Yes.
Now, Aaron, we understand that you have to, from Germany, present a negative pre-departure test within 48 hours of your flight to Singapore, which is something you briefly alluded to earlier. How hassle-free is this process?
It is extremely easy to get a PCR test done in Germany. There are a lot of locations that you can do it. Most places will get you the results within 24 hours, and it costs roughly about 70 to 75 euros, so that's about 110, 120 Singapore dollars. I think the main problem is not so much with the test per se, it's actually the implications if you return a positive test. So what happens on the German side is that you go into self-isolation, and if you're fully vaccinated, you can be released as early as 5 days, depends on what your PCR test is. But the bigger problem, as I mentioned earlier, is that ICA currently has a policy that anyone who has tested positive for COVID within the last 21 days cannot travel to Singapore, which means that even if you're out of German self-isolation, even if your PCR tests are negative, you're not allowed to board the plane until 21 days. So it's another 21 days of accommodation, of food, etc. And I think it's a bit of a strange restriction given that, you know, right now in Singapore, we are moving towards, what was it, like 10 days or something?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I just don't understand how that 21 days makes sense. But that's definitely going to be a big deal breaker for a lot of would-be leisure travelers, because I don't think your boss would be very happy if you told him or her that you need to stay there another 21 days. Yeah, so that's definitely a problem.
Yeah, the 10 days based on the logic of a shorter incubation period due to the Delta variant. I'm just looking at your blog post on the Mile Lion, and one of the things you brought up, and sadly I'm just highlighting the ICA again, apart from that issue, there are other areas that they need to up their game, you mentioned.
Yeah, so I think some of it is our teething problems. As you know, I was among the first few travelers to come back on the VTL when it first started. So you're supposed to get some automated emails regarding your day 3 and your day 7 test, and they're sent according to a certain timeline, which wasn't adhered to. So I believe the first batch of travelers from Frankfurt did not receive their booking links, and they had to call up Raffles Medical to get it done manually. I did receive my links, booking links in the end, just saying that, you know, it wasn't as seamless as you're probably used to the Singapore bureaucracy working. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm.
Now, Aaron, one last thing. You could actually use a different option to travel there, and that is a Category 2 option. Tell us more about this, about the differences, and whether it's really worth considering.
Right. So for the uninitiated, Category 2 refers to a separate set of entry requirements. And for people coming back from Germany, you can either fly on a VTL flight, which is what I did, which means that when you land in Singapore, there is no SHN. Instead, you go through a series of PCR tests on day zero, on day 1, 3, and 7. The other alternative is you take a non-VTL flight and you enter under Category 2 rules, which means you do a 7-day SHN. Now, previously, one of the main attractions of doing the Category 2 route was that you didn't have to do a pre-departure test in Germany. And why that's attractive is because, as I mentioned earlier, if your test is positive, you're basically stranded there for 21 days. So people who didn't want to roll the dice on that could say, okay, we don't do the pre-departure test. We enter under Category 2 rules, and I accept that I have to do a 7-day SHN, which is probably still better than 21 days in Germany. But ever since 9th or 10th of September, I can't remember which one, ICA has modified the rules saying that all arrivals from Category 2 must also do a pre-departure test. And as such, now there's no real incentive to opt for non-VTL Category 2 over VTL, simply because the process is exactly the same in Germany. But when you arrive in Singapore, it's either no quarantine or 7-day SHN. And therefore, most people would just say, okay, I'll just do the test in Germany, hope that it comes back negative, and then return to Singapore on a VTL flight and avoid SHN altogether.
So not quite the big fanfare reopening we all hope for, but hey, it is a good start, yeah?
Yeah, it is. And I'm really hoping, fingers crossed, that we're going to see more countries added to VTO arrangements by the end of the year. I think Switzerland is a good bet. I've been hearing some stuff about South Korea as well. But, you know, we just have to wait and see.
Very excellent stuff, as always. Aaron Wong, founder of The Mile Lion. Aaron, appreciate your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.